Hello and welcome to the Journal of Accountancy podcast. I'm Courtney Vian, a senior editor with the Journal of Accountancy. I'm speaking with Julie Littlechild, founder and CEO of Absolute Engagement, a client research and training organization based in Toronto, Canada. Julie has spoken at many events, including our Engage conference. She is the author of The Pursuit of Absolute Engagement, Intentionally Design a Business That Supports the Life You Really Want to Live. She'll be telling us about ways you can increase your clients' engagement with your firm. But first, please listen to a brief word from our sponsor.
Running a business is rarely simple, but earning rewards can be. With the Chase Inc. Business Unlimited card, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase for whatever your business needs. Restrictions and limitations apply. Offer subject to change. Cards are issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank and a member FDIC.
And we're back. Hello, Julie. To start with, how would you define client engagement?
Oh, it's a great question. I think when we think about engagement, we're thinking primarily about the depth of relationship that professionals have with their clients. And we contrast engagement with great service, for example. So an engaged client in the research we do, if we want a more granular definition, are those clients who are not only at the top on satisfaction, but have also referred. So when a client's engaged, they're deeply satisfied, profoundly satisfied, and they're also your biggest advocates. And then, of course, our job is to understand what makes a client engaged.
So why is client engagement important?
We do a lot of research with end clients, and we find that by and large, they're incredibly satisfied with the professionals that they are working with. And as much as that's good news, obviously, it also creates a unique challenge because it means that having satisfied clients just doesn't set you apart. And so we really believe that if part of your goal is not only to deliver great service, but to really stand out, to have something that's differentiated, then we really need to set a higher standard. And for us, that higher standard is engagement.
What's the difference between a satisfied client and an engaged one?
Starting at a really granular level, a satisfied client is one who just reports a high level of satisfaction, whereas an engaged client is one who's both satisfied and has referred. So what's interesting, I think, about that definition is it sounds simple enough, but when you really look at the differences, when you take that group of clients who are engaged, who meet those two criteria, what you start to find is that they're also much more loyal. You tend to have more of their business. That is to say, they're not working with a lot of other professionals to do the same work. They tend to be less fee or price sensitive. So there's all sorts of implications of being in that engaged category. And when we start to deconstruct that a little and dig into what the real differences in the experience are, what we find is that when clients are satisfied, what they're really saying in another way is, you're delivering on what I expect. So I came to you for accounting services, or I came to you for wealth management, and you are, you're smart, you do what you said you were going to do, you meet me often enough, the work is good, you make few mistakes, and if you make them, you fix them. I mean, it's sort of what we expect. And when we deliver on what clients expect, they're generally very satisfied. However, the nuance that we see when clients are engaged is that it's less about what the professional is delivering and a little more about how clients experience that. So, I mean, let me take a silly example in a way. Just look outside the industry to maybe highlight the differences. And I'll pick Starbucks because we all get what it is, and just try to create a little picture of the difference between what we see as satisfied and good service and engaged. And here I'm talking really about the experience. So if you assumed you went into a Starbucks and they delivered a cup of coffee to you, you know, that was hot and it was quick and you didn't spend an hour waiting in line, just the fundamentals, they were nice enough to you, you know, the fundamentals were in place, you would be satisfied. You would have received exactly what you want. But if the next step for Starbucks was they created an amazing cup of coffee, you know, it was just a great cup of coffee. Now it's delivered efficiently and the product itself is really wonderful. Well, now we're starting to move a little more toward a different experience and deeper engagement. But the reality is when you walk into Starbucks, it's not just about the service and it's not just about the coffee. It's the whole environment, right? They have figured out how coffee fits into the lives of their customers. And so they've got the long tables and the power outlets, and you can sit there for a couple of hours and nobody bugs you because that's how people want to consume coffee. None of that has anything to do with coffee, if you think about it, but that's a different experience. And in a way, that just sort of typifies the difference that we see. We go from just delivering efficiently to having a good product to creating a different kind of experience. And when we can do that, now obviously if we're in professional services, it's different from Starbucks, but that is where we start to see engagement really kicking in.
What are some ways that CPAs or CPA financial planners could start creating this experience?
Well, I think that if we think in the same terms, you know, not just what's the product being delivered, but how does this product or service fit into the lives of our clients? That's kind of the first broad question that we would ask. So more specifically for this industry, let's take client communications as an example. If our goal was to have clients who were satisfied, we deliver on the product, and we might send them, you know, budget updates, investment updates, information, interesting communications that related to the service that was being delivered. And no one would complain about those, and they would think they were generally interesting, but that would be really the end of it. We'd feel okay about the relationship. What we're starting to see is professionals really stepping back and saying, okay, well, who is my target client here? And how can I build the experience around them? So if the key client, the ideal or the target client was a business owner, for example, that's our first step. Let's figure out who we're designing this experience to support. So let's assume now I'm thinking about a business owner. Well, then my next question might be, what are the needs and challenges that they face in their businesses on a day-to-day basis? Really start to try to get outside of the notion of just how do I interact with them? How do they consume my service? But what are those broader needs and interests that they have? And then begin to craft a communications plan that supports that. So, for example, we might find that business owners are particularly concerned with succession, or they are concerned with employee engagement. I mean, there are a whole range of issues that we could face that really have nothing to do with accounting or wealth management. And so what we can begin to do is craft a communications plan that supports them, go beyond the core, add value in different ways. So that might be sending articles on succession planning. It might be having a workshop where we bring business owners together to share ideas and best practices on how they develop and retain key team members. It might be sending a link to a podcast or to a TED Talk or, you know, but we're trying to go beyond just the product. We're trying to really hone in on what it is they're thinking about, what they care about, what they worry about, and create a different kind of experience. I mean, that's just one example, but it's an example of how we can think a little more broadly.
We hear a lot about disruption these days, and you've observed that, like everything else, client engagement is being disrupted by technology and some of the new trends that we're seeing today. Can you talk a little bit about why that might be happening?
Well, I mean, I think there's the why and the how, I guess. The why it's happening, I think, is for the reasons that really we started out talking about, and that is the fact that organizations, whether they're big or small, are looking for ways to stand out. And delivering on the core product and service is just not enough because, frankly, most good professional firms deliver on the core product and service. So I think that's driving firms to say, how can we stand out? How can we be different? How can we decommoditize our offer so that we're delivering an experience that is unique, that is engaging, and that clients can't get anywhere else. So, I mean, I think that's the why. The how, gosh, there are a few different trends that we've observed largely outside of our industry, in fairness. I think, you know, one is co-creation of value. Now, this is a concept that has been around for a very long time. It's an academic concept, but I think the importance of it is really starting to come to the fore. And co-creation of value, simply stated, means that the value that's being delivered is quite literally co-created between the client and the professional. So it's almost hard to separate the two. So practically speaking, you see that manifested in a few ways. It could be something like we talked about, gathering feedback. Well, in a way, when you gather feedback, you're co-creating the experience. I mean, you are if you listen to the feedback, I suppose. But you're asking people what they want, and then that's being reflected in the service. So that could be everything from how often do you want to meet, where do you want to meet, what kind of meetings, what kind of technology should we use for meetings, all of those different things. Co-creation can also be in the level of involvement. We see this a lot with self-serve tools, technology. So do you want to be able to log into your own account and run scenarios yourself? That's a form of co-creation because, again, the client is more involved. So I do think what we're seeing is just a fundamentally different role for the client, both in terms of the input they provide, but also in the way that we're trying to look at the experience through their eyes. I mean, a really simple example of this, just to make it very basic. We worked with a firm some time ago. They had when it was tax time in particular, they would have the review with the client. They would often meet and go through all of their various returns and the other work that they were doing with them, and they felt like every year it was the same. In a way, it was just a process that they would go through. It was good, it was important, but it wasn't adding significant value. One of the little changes they made was prior to the meeting, they sent out a poll, and it just said, in advance of meeting, can you respond to the following question? And they gave them a series of statements, and they asked, can you rate your level of concern with the following? And so, again, it could have been succession planning, it could be building long-term value in my business. If it was an individual, it might be leaving a financial legacy for charity or ensuring my spouse or partner's taken care of should I pass away. And they just asked clients to rate sort of 1 to 5, this doesn't worry me at all, this keeps me up at night. And then the review meeting was tailored around the things that clients were worried about. Now, when you think about that, it sounds quite simple, but what they were effectively doing is co-creating the entire review process and bringing in issues that they probably would not have addressed, but which might have been on the minds of their clients.
So what's another trend that's disrupting how firms interact with their clients?
We see personalization as a big trend. A lot of that would be technology driven, but that could be as simple as asking clients how often they want to meet and then automating that process. It could be asking them about their needs and interests and then tailoring the client communications plan to those needs or interests. And again, we see all sorts of examples of how the process is being personalized. Those are a couple of big ones that I think will drive engagement going forward.
I can see how those would be really powerful ways of connecting with clients. I know if I were a CPA hearing this, I'd think, well, wouldn't that take a lot of time and effort to tailor all those meetings to individual clients?
Well, I think that, you know, I think our best bet is to automate what is routine and then take the time to do what only a human can do. I mean, to some extent, mm-hmm. it's our last defense against digitization, you know, in a negative sense. You know, I think it can be used for a powerful good. So if we can automate much of the, you know, the work that happens, if we can create workflows around setting those meetings, if we can send information in advance so that clients can see that, there's all sorts of things that we can do so that when we're sitting down with our professional, we're really tapping into their wisdom. And I'm talking about myself as a client here. And rather than, I don't need my CPA to walk me through what I can read, but I certainly benefit from his or her experience in more strategic issues. So in a way, I think it's let's use automation to standardize what we can and then accept that this is how we're going to differentiate ourselves.
I've seen in your work that you use the term client journey. What do you mean by that?
We look at client journey and client journey mapping in particular, which is really a design process for client experience. So a traditional approach to thinking about client experience would be to sit down and say, okay, well, you know, what am I going to deliver to my clients? And perhaps that changes depending on the size of the client. How often are we going to meet? And, you know, here's what I'm willing to offer. Client journey mapping really turns the process around and says, what is the journey that the client is on? And then how do we support them on that? So it's a process of identifying the stages that a prospect and then client goes through. Everything from perhaps deciding that they need to change CPAs, or perhaps the first time they get professional advice, to how they research who to work with, through initial contact, the initial meeting, the onboarding process, ongoing reviews, ongoing communication. So you map out the stages based on what a client goes through, and then you step back and say, okay, well, what is the client thinking, feeling, and doing at each stage? You know, what's on their mind? How are they interacting with us or others? And when you take that approach, all of a sudden the opportunities to innovate appear, because you're thinking less about, here's what I deliver, how do I do that better and faster? And you're thinking more about, here are the challenges my clients are facing all along the way, and what can we do to support them? And so that's that's a very truncated, obviously, definition of client journey mapping, but that's the essence of it. And you know, if you looked at any progressive firm today in client experience, I mean, pick the Ritz-Carltons or the Disneys or the Nordstroms or whomever, I'll almost guarantee you that they're going through a process of client journey mapping, in part to remove friction at each stage, and in part to see how they can add value at each stage.
How does client engagement affect the firm owner's well-being?
Sure. I mean, I have spent my entire career focusing on client experience, and all of the research has been going into that, working with professionals. And there was a period of time a few years ago where, and this may be in fairness just because of what I was transitioning through in my own business, I began to look more at the people, the professionals themselves, and noticed that some of the most successful people that I talked to were not just running good and great businesses, growing businesses, but had almost a sense of personal joy and lightness about the way they were going about it. And I was intrigued by what the differences were. So we began to do some research with professionals who were successful, and identified this group that we called the absolutely engaged, who were about 15% of the population. And they were generating more revenue. They were generating more revenue in less time. They were clear and focused on the future. They had clarity around what they were going to do. And they also reported lower stress and better health and more energy. So it was quite an amazing little sample. And what we really discovered and what this book was about was what was different about these people. And we found it was a clear alignment between their own personal vision for what they wanted to do, not just in business, but in their lives, and then connecting that vision to their client experience and to their team experience. You could almost draw a straight line. And so it was a really fascinating look, not just at how are we working with clients, but, you know, how are you was the question that we were really asking. And so much of it just came down to the fact that, and I know this is certainly where I was, a lot of professionals get to the point where they've got a successful business and they're going, but it's almost like we call it the fulfillment flatline, because the vision forward is no longer clear because it's changed. What's important changes. And so it was just a thought process and some research to say, okay, we've got to deal with client experience. We've got to deal with team experience and business. But if that's disconnected from your personal vision, none of this is going to work.
That was Julie Littlechild of Absolute Engagement. You can find her at absoluteengagement.com. This has been the Journal of Accountancy podcast. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.